Thank you, Drew. Thank you, team. Yeah, there is some kids' activities if kids want to go out the back with Sky and Natasha, but or they can stay here. That's all good. How are you? My name's Brad. If I haven't met you, I'm one of the pastors here, and it's so great to be with you this morning. I hope you're ready to receive something from the Lord, because I really feel like preaching this morning. And I love it when I feel like that, which is most times, actually. Thank you, Drew. So, yes, great to be with you this summer series. Things are really going to start cranking back up now. I don't know if we're ready for it or not, but it's just we can't stop time, if you've noticed. And youth group will be cranking up, and the leaders are meeting this week, and we've got some exciting things happening there, young adults starting. Just everything getting back into it. Kids will be back at school, and all the parents said. Amen. But and some are like, boo, a bit of a mixture. And 2021 is here, and we really want to start it with the Lord, don't we? And we want to start it how we want to finish it, with God's presence, with his blessings. Lord, we don't want to go on from here without you, and know that you are leading us and guiding us. And so we've just been in this summer series, just been exploring a few different things. I'm not going to really land on the theme verse this morning. If you have got your Bibles, there's two places I'd like you to go. One place, if you're following along, if you want to get there first, don't have to go to it yet, but will be Genesis chapter 35 and verse 16. And the key verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'll read that to you. Therefore, it says, if anyone, isn't that good news? If you're an anyone here, you qualify, is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. If any man, another version said, or any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and I love that word, behold, which means to stop and gaze upon. Behold, don't miss this, the new has come. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning that this isn't just my words, this isn't just a club gathering, but we are your people here in your presence. And Lord, we're hungry for you. I pray for every person that's come in. Lord, I thank you that you know everything about them. You know the week they've had and you know the week they're going to have. And you know this moment that they're in. And I just pray, Lord, that we would open our hearts and open our minds. And for this moment, have the grace upon our hearts and lives to be able to stop and say, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done in me today. We know your will is so much better than ours, so we just trust you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for all you're going to do. And everyone said, amen. Embracing the new you, a new year, a new you. I want to talk this morning about knowing who you are. Knowing who you are. You know, one of the greatest discoveries a person can have is self-discovery. And did you know one of the greatest people that you can actually meet in your life is yourself in Christ? Some people haven't met him yet. Some people haven't met really who they are yet. Or they may be existing and living, but if you haven't truly met who God says you are, you haven't met the real you. You might have met you and the old you, but have you met the new creation? I'm going to introduce you to him or her this morning, and I think you're going to be really excited about who you're going to meet. Because God seems to be passionate about people knowing their identity. God is really passionate about calling you by your real name. God wants you to know who you are. Who knows the saying? You can finish it for me. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Grew up with that one in the schoolyard. Oh, sticks and stones will break my bones, but your names will never hurt me. Who knows that? That is just an absolute lie. There is no truth in that at all. You will recover from the sticks and the stones. Your body will heal, but many people are walking around with wounds from words that have not been healed, and they're words that have been spoken to the very core of you, to who you are, and you've identified with words. Oh, you could have healed from just a stick hitting you, but you've never got over a word that was spoken to you, because words are powerful, and God uses words in a powerful way to create. In the beginning, he created the world with his word. And then he creates a new creation with his word. Oh, there's so much in that we could go into, but sticks and stones will break my bones, but names do hurt me. If I could ask for someone's wallet this morning, which I won't, but if I could, imagine me grabbing your wallet right now and saying, okay, I can see your driver's license. And it can give me some your identification to know who you are and where you live and what street you're on and that sort of thing. Imagine if then I just started to fill your wallet up with all these lies about you don't really live on Happy Lane, you live on Depressed Street. You don't really live on Abundance Avenue, you live in Lack Lane. you don't really live in hope and a future. You live in defeat and loss. And I was to fill your wallet up with all the things that the devil would want you to believe and identify with. And you took that back. And then whenever you looked at who you were and looked at your identification, that's what you saw. You see, John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the things he likes to steal is identity. And you're going to see that he loves people to have an identity. Christians have an identity crisis. That's one of the worst crises we can have. But Jesus said, I've come that you would have life and have it to the full. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, our theme verse this morning, is all about the new you. There was a study done, and in this study, it was called The Early Catastrophe. It found that there is power behind the words that we speak to children between birth and at age 4. The study showed that the more we speak encouraging things to a child at an early age, the fewer problems they will face with identity and purpose later in life. See, when we don't know who we are in Christ, we're vulnerable to demonic deceptions to destroy our lives. And that sounds like a really full-on statement, and it really is, because it really is a full-on issue. Names in the Bible are very important. You'll notice when something is named, and a person is named, it often refers to something about them. You know, Isaac, what does Isaac mean? And Sarah laughed. And Jesus, when they called his name Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins, his name is attached to his identity. Yeshua, the Old Testament, Joshua, the deliverer. Jesus would be the deliverer. His name's attached to his identity. And we don't maybe take it that serious, this in our culture of how we name things today or name people today, but maybe you do. But back then, naming something was a serious and important thing, and something taken in a lot of seriousness. And anyway, so I've looked at a few name changes that happened in the Bible I want to give you this morning, where someone's name was changed. My favorite, I'm going to give you first, because this is my favorite, is this. It was in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 16, it talks about when Benjamin was born. Let me read it to you. 35 verse 16. Then they moved on to Bethel, Jacob and Rachel. While they were still some distance from... Someone say it for me, please. Thank you. Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, "Don't despair, for you have another son." Catch this, verse 18. As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni. But his father named him Benjamin. This is a really quick shift here that Jacob does. His mother named him Ben-Oni, which means son of my sorrow, son of my pain. Out of what she was going through, she was about to label the next generation with her pain, with her issues, with what she was going through. She was about to stamp on him the pain of the temporary that could give him permanent damage. And he's a son of my pain. But I love what the father does. And back then, the father got to get the final word. The father would name the baby. Something to think about, Drew. You can use a biblical example there. I've got the name of this, but it's not like that really. We're going to be... Anyway. So the father would get the final word. And notice what happens before Jacob is going to agree with this. He makes a shift and he says no. The Bible says, but his father named him Benjamin, which means son of my strength. He will not go around life being referred to son of my sorrow. We're not going to put that on him, but rather son of my right hand, it means son of my strength. This is how he will identify, because Jacob knew something very powerful, that what we call it is what it becomes. And he knew it personally, himself, just before this actually happened. Son of my strength. What about today? Imagine living with the pain of something you didn't even do. Imagine identifying with a history that you weren't a part of, but it impacts your life today. And God is the kind of God that says, I want to give you a new name. I don't want you to identify with what happened to you or before your time, but there is a healing that can take place on the inside of you, and it's all found in becoming the new creation that God has already made you. That's a powerful thought right there. Have you heard your father's word over you to make the shift that you need to make? what the Father would say. Maybe you've heard different words, but your Father is speaking over you this morning, not words of negativity, but words of blessing. Another one that made a shift was Abram to Abraham. Remember that shift, Abram? Which means exalted father to Abraham, father of nations. I love this thought because in the context, we know that Abraham was old and he didn't have any kids and he was facing an impossibility. And God comes along and says, yeah, I want you to identify not with just exalted father, but with the father of nations. That's the identity I'm putting on you. But he's like, we're old. How can we see generations come after us? And I love that thought that I want you to identify that with God, all things are possible. I want you, I hear that this morning, not just for Abram to Abraham, hear it in your name, that you have a name that says, I identify with all things are possible with God. And he wants to do something in your life that impacts the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. That someone will be sitting maybe here one day and look back and go, the decisions you made, what you identified with in Christ, left a blessing and a legacy in their life. Because you heard the word of what your father speaks over you. I love it. How God says to Abraham, he says, just to illustrate this for you, Abraham, I want you to get, I want you to get a visible picture that you can believe me for. So he says, go outside of the tent. Abraham goes outside of the tent and he says, look up and start counting the stars. Abraham's counting and he just loses count. That is what I want to do in your life. That you won't even be able to number. You can't even imagine what I want to do in your life. That's what he's saying. I want you to look up. And for me, January 2021 is a time personally of looking up and saying, Lord, take my limits off. I want to put the boxes off of you this year. What you can do in me as a dad, as a husband, as a pastor, as a leader, just as a worker, as a person. What you can do on the inside of me. Look to the stars today and say, God, I want to trust you and your ability. I'm sure Craig will preach more when he gets back on the verse he shared with the staff of what God's laid on his heart this year. And it's exciting that we are believing and trusting for things this year that we cannot accomplish because God's going to do it. Amen? Are you with me this morning? Look to the stars. Another person was, as I just said, Jacob to Israel. I love this thought. Jacob, the name Jacob, which means deceiver and schemer and supplanter, and even coming out of his mum's womb, he's grabbing onto his brother's heel, his twin, and he's grabbing onto Esau's heel, and that's what it was like, and because he eventually got the blessing off of him. But when God got through with Jacob, he changed his name. He didn't want him to identify with schemer and supplanter, but he called him Israel, Prince of God. I love that thought, that he wanted Jacob to not identify with his a shady past, some would say, but he wanted him to identify with royalty, Prince of God, Israel. He wanted him to know, you know what, you're in the royal family. And I'm speaking to us this morning. God wants you to know something. You're in the royal family. Not with Queen Elizabeth. No, not that one. You're in the royal family, the king's family, God's family. When you become a new creation, you're bought with his blood and royal blood flows through your veins spiritually this morning. That you are his and he is yours, as we've sung. You are not in yourself, you are in Christ. Amen. Oh, that was just the little confirmation there. The Prince of God. And then I love this one, Simon in the New Testament. Remember Simon, the fisherman? And he has a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus comes to Simon and the lads, and he says, hey, what's the gossip around town about me? Who do people say Jesus I am? Like, what's going on? And they say, well, some say you're a prophet, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this, some say you're that. And then Jesus looks at Simon and says, who do you say I am? And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Notice this, he identified Jesus. And then Jesus makes these amazing words. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. What he means is you didn't figure this out on your own. You didn't just get it from yourself. He said, but it has been revealed to you from heaven. In other words, you had my identity quickened to you from heaven. You got it divinely. And now that you know who I am, and that's what it is to come to the Lord and read his word when we're spiritually alive, his word becomes alive, and it's not just a written word, it's a living word. And Jesus suddenly became to Simon, "You're the living word. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." And then he looks back at him and he says, "Because you know my identity, watch this. You're no longer called Simon. You're no longer a reed. You're no longer here and there. You're not going to be known as the denier of Christ. You're not going to, even though you're going to stuff up and fail, don't ever let your identity be found in your performance, Simon." And he says, "I now call you Peter, which means rock. And on this rock, I will build my church." Oh, I'm getting excited about that. The church, we've been built on a failure. And that means I can fit in really well. Because it's not his failure that we're getting built on. We're getting built on Jesus Christ. And he knew who he was and the identity that he gives us. And he said, I love that thought that Simon, that where it all comes from, this is the church is going to be built upon people that stuff up and mess up and all that sort of thing, because the church is not about what you have done, Simon. It's all about what I have done, Jesus says. And it's all for you. And I love this next person is Saul to Paul. And God, not saying God actually changed his name in the context, but it seems that in his journey, Saul, who, if you don't know, was a Christian killer, was persecuting the church, and had a massive turnaround when he found the Lord, the Lord found him and knocked him off his donkey of religiosity, and got him so low that he had to be humble. And he comes to the Lord in an amazing encounter, and he starts to refer to his name as Paul, which when I looked up for our dictionary, probably different back then, was to be humble, and I thought that's really cool. The guy who wrote most of the New Testament that we read had a humility that he had to let go of his old things. Imagine Paul. Old things have passed away. He had some pretty cool old things. He was like so devout. He had all the qualifications. He had all the degrees and he had everything before his name that he needed to be successful. But that had to pass away, so much so that he said, yeah, all that stuff is poo. That's what he actually said compared to knowing Christ. He says, that's just dung. That's just that's all that old stuff's passed away. Even the good stuff, everything I've accomplished is absolutely nothing compared to what God has accomplished in me. Wow. What a thought. What a change of identity. What a change of getting his new thing today. And this one, I want to land on this one. I love this thought. Even Jesus didn't have a name change, but did you know Jesus, he needed to hear his identity from his Father. I love that thought. I said I'm jumping around a bit today, but if you've got YouVersion, you'll be able to find these scriptures. But in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist. He baptizes Jesus. As Jesus comes out of the water, catch this, there's a voice that comes from heaven and says, "This is my Son." Listen to this. God, Jesus, fully God, fully man, obviously in his humanity, is hearing this, that God is affirming him and labeling him and calling him, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." The very Son of God needed to hear it. How much your kids, how much my kids, how much our lives need our Father's approval, need our mother's approval, need that affirmation. There's something powerful about that, isn't there? There's something powerful when you know whose you are and who you are. Recently, a little while ago, hold that thought, I want to stay on that, but I went to it. My granddad turned 90, and we had his 90th birthday, and it was so cool, all the cousins there, you know, catching up with the cousins you don't see for ages, and we went around, and they said, "Does anyone want to say anything?" And of course, they looked to the person who's the preacher. I wondered, and I said, "Oh, I would actually," and I just said, "Granddad, I just want to say thank you for how you gave us really great identity as children." You see, some of you wouldn't know, but my great-grandpa was one of the first pioneer farming settlers at Muckinbuddin. And so the main street's named after him. And so all your cousins are basically the whole town. You've got to be careful at family reunions because you don't want to marry anyone there. Just that's how it works out, small towns. And I said, "I want to thank you, because when we went to school at primary school, with all my cousins and just the legacy that we had, I just had a confidence. I never struggled with self-esteem and confidence in primary school. Today may be different. I need the Lord. But I didn't. I was just so full of confidence because I knew who I was. I knew whose I was. I felt a part of it. I felt like I belonged. And it was just this sense of identity. And I said, "I just want to thank you for that." And we need that. That's the natural. How much more in the spirit we need that with God. That we can walk into a room and know whose we are and who we are, no matter what that room looks like, no matter who else is in that room. That it brings that confidence. Jesus had this stamp on him. You are my son in whom I'm well pleased. And he hears this from the Father. And by the way, he hasn't done any sermons yet. He hasn't done any books. No miracles that are recorded. He's about 30 years old, and he's done nothing that we know of written in the Bible that was like amazing things that changed lives. But yet before his performance, he needs to hear his identity. And I say it to us today. God doesn't label you loved when you do something great. God doesn't label you blessed when you've blessed somebody else. God doesn't label you successful when you finally get your act together and clean things up. No, before a single act of obedience, you are his son, and with him you are well. He is well pleased. It's a whole nother sermon, but he wants us to live from his pleasure, not for his pleasure. He wants us to be so, and this is big for me. This is a journey. I'm always thinking, oh, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? What do I got to do? And it doesn't mean we shouldn't do things, but when I'm doing them out of trying to just tick the box, please God, make him smile, I get burnt out. But living from his pleasure, he loves me so much. Notice the next thing that happens, Jesus goes in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 4, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the devil hasn't really changed much, has he? His tactics are still the same, and we can learn a lot from what he did. He comes up to Jesus and he says these few words. He says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. What's the first attack is on his identity. If you are the Son of God, Jesus could have gone, yeah, I'm not really sure who I am. But he didn't, because just before he was getting baptized and he heard who he was, and he was carrying a word in his heart, I know who I am because God has spoken it to me. You and I need to hear that word personally for our life. We need it quickened. I say that word, that it just becomes alive. Quickened is alive on the inside of our spirits, where our identity is secure in such a way when the enemy comes at you and says, if you were a Christian, you wouldn't be doing that. If you really loved God, you wouldn't still be making them mistakes and having that attitude. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't have gone through that life event that, you know, that shouldn't have happened to you. And if you believe them lies, we're vulnerable to an identity crisis. But God wants you to go back to what he has said and never forget it. You are his son. You are his daughter. With you, he is well pleased, because he smiles at you through the new creation that Jesus died to give you. That's good news this morning. That's great news this morning. Jesus needed to hear it, and I just love that thought. Okay, so we're now at our main verse for the day, which I'm going to finish on, by the way. If anyone is in Christ. I just want to go through these words and encourage you this morning. The first two are, if anyone. This is available to you all. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord can be and will be saved. There are no qualifications except to be broken, stuffed up, messed up, and sinned. And if you're in that category, you qualify. So that's the good news of the gospel. This isn't an elite club that you can't get into. Well, it is really. You've got to be humble and broken. And it's for anyone. If anyone is in Christ, that's the next three words, is in. If anyone is in church, then they are a new creation. No, it doesn't say that, does it? If anybody is in serving, you could even be serving in church, but that's not what it says. And I'm pretty confident that our servers are all new creations, are Christians, that's great. But people could be today sitting in a place, but they're not in Christ. So the word in Christ means that you have been grafted in, means that we are part of the family. It's a relationship word. Imagine if you were about to go through a war zone in a real war, and you needed to get from, say, one side of the war to the other side. And there are mines, it's a minefield, there are just, the enemy is everywhere, there's cannons and all sorts of things. And you got to the start and you're about to get across. So here we are, we've got to get across. And someone said to you, look, you've got two choices. You can either ride your bicycle, or you can go in a tank, a fully armoured tank. And you'd go, I'm going to go on the tank. Because what you are in determines how you get through. And so it is in life. When we know that we are in Christ, it's impossible to be in crisis at the same time. We'll still go through them. We will still go through hard times. We will still go through adversity, because that's promised for everyone. But what you are in determines how you go through. And it's great to be in Christ, knowing that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. That's what I'm talking about this morning. You're just going to go through some valleys, but you might come out of it looking not like you've been there. Maybe you don't smell like the smoke of the fiery furnace, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's like, how did you get through that and not stink like smoke? Because they were Old Testament in Christ. We're in Christ. We're in covenant, and He holds that secure for us. What about you this morning? Are you in Christ? Are you a believer? If you followed Him, that's where you belong. That is your new place. And Paul talks about it, doesn't he? All the time, in Him, in Him, in Him. And then it says, He is a new creation, a new creation. I love that, a new creation. This isn't talking about, by the way, this is somebody who cleaned their act up. This isn't talking about, I got better. You know, Brad used to really struggle a lot, and but now he got better because of Jesus. That is not the gospel. That is just not how it works. This is a brand new creation. Catch this quote. You ready? Jesus Christ didn't come into the world to make bad people good. He came into the world to make dead people alive. You are a brand, that word creation, totally brand new. And it's not something it can be created up. God made you, and you are no longer your old you. Paul puts it this way when he talks about reckon yourself. Recognize that you have died with Christ. That the old you is dead, and yes, he tries to have a resurrection and tries to get us to agree with that resurrection and come into alignment with them old things, but he is dead. Just ignore him because he has no power over you, and align and identify with your new creation in Christ to do good works that have been prepared in advance for you. So here's the thing. This is what an interesting thought. If I'm a new creation, how come I don't really feel that? So when someone becomes a Christian, if they weigh a certain amount, there's a fair chance they still weigh that amount after they're a Christian. If someone becomes a Christian and they've got a big wart on their ear, fair chance they've still got a wart on their ear. But they're a new creation. So the new creation, I submit to you to look up for yourself, isn't in your body necessarily. Also would say that it's not in your, you've still got some attitudes and some mindsets that, man, they need some working on and they need some fixing and renewing. It's probably not in your soul. The new creation is not in our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. That isn't suddenly born again. My body isn't born again. So where is the new creation? Well, I submit to you that it is in your spirit realm. That you've been regenerated in your spirit. And I would say that a third of you is 100% already totally saved, cannot be saved anymore. That's your spirit. That's the new, it is there. The good news is he wants to get out and impact your soul, your mind, your will and emotions. And that's when Romans 12 comes into place, which says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How do you want to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. So what we're doing this morning is a great renewer. By hearing the truth of God's word, your mind, will, and emotions are starting to connect with the spirit on the inside of you, which is fully done. It's Jesus there, fully. Everything you need is you're complete in Christ, Paul says. And it's as it agrees with that, it will start to impact the way you think, the way you feel, and impact your body even, your life. It'll come out. And I think that's a great thought, that's where it is, because some people are like, well, I don't feel it. Well, faith isn't a feeling. Faith is the truth of trusting God. It says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Sorry, it's not on the screen. I didn't put this one there. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love this because this is how it works for me, that I know I don't need to go out and try and get something for today. I know that I've got it on in my spirit, everything I need right now. So one way this works is just knowing that even though I don't feel like forgiving somebody and loving somebody, on the inside of me, the very spirit of Christ, I can draw that out and go, you know what? The word says to forgive as Christ forgave me. And I draw that truth out from my spirit and where I know God is working in me, and I make it change the way, and I bend my mind to the word of God. And then my soul comes into alignment with that. Sorry, I'm probably going into a whole different tangent there, but this is just how the new creation wants to come out. because it's totally been done. You don't need to try and make yourself better. You need to just lean into what God has already done. So I'll go on to the next point, which will elaborate. The old has passed away. The old has passed away. There has been a funeral of a whole lot of things that do not belong to you anymore, and you need to embrace that funeral and say, yeah, goodbye. There's so many things that when Jesus died on the cross, went with him, and they just don't belong to you anymore. The word sinner doesn't belong to you anymore. Do you sin? Do I sin? Absolutely. But I don't. My identity is a child of God. If I'm just going to keep identifying, I'm just a struggling sinner, well, I will be a struggling sinner. If I identify, you know what, I'm an overcomer. Yeah, I know I've got some things that God's working on. Praise God, I'm just still in process. I'm not there yet, and I never will be till I see him. And I think that's a great way to think, that the old has gone. I like this quote. There was a divine swap, your rubbish for Jesus' royalty. The old things of fear, worry, lack, the old things have passed away, and we don't need to answer to our old name anymore. When someone calls you by your old name, you can say, that's not my name anymore. When someone calls you addicted, you say, that's no, Simon, or someone calls you Simon, don't answer to Simon, answer to Peter. When someone calls you fearful, don't answer to that name. When someone calls you hopeless, when someone calls you unforgiven, when the enemy comes to steal your identity, just call your new name. Your new name is blessed. Your new name is righteous right now. Your new name is holy. Your new name is blameless. Your new name is hope and a future. Your new name is victory. And your new name is your real name. Amen? Behold, the new has come. And we finish on that one. Behold, the new has come. It's here. I love that thought. It's done. It's, behold, the new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings a new life. You are complete in Christ, in your spirit. You already have everything we need to live for Jesus. So as the worship team comes back up, I'm just going to encourage you, as we draw near to God this January, as we press into his presence for the year ahead, I want to encourage you, don't go into the year without knowing who you are. This is a sermon that you could really, and I will be personally, just diving into all this year, remembering who I am, calling me who I am. You know, one of the Galatians 5:22 talks about that we have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. You know, that's your name. That's who you are. And even when you don't feel like that, you can draw them things out and say, Lord, I thank you that on the inside of me is the love, agape love of God. I don't feel like loving this person, but I'm going to lean in and respond to the Spirit, not me. I'm a new creation. We don't feel like being patient. Just draw out that patience. Thank you, Lord, that I have the patience of Jesus on the inside of me. That's pretty good patience. And I can just draw that out. And Lord, help me to grow in that. Let this fruit just grow. So let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for just being able to stop and be able to open our minds and lives to your word this morning. I pray, Lord, for things that maybe I've said that just fall to the side, but there'd be words that are from you this morning that we would just grab a hold of, and that they would just really take root in our hearts and bear a lot of fruit in our lives. I just want to pray for people, Lord, that have here this morning, and you know what it's like. You know what it's like to believe words that have caused an identity problem with you. You know what it's like to suffer from that. And I just pray right now, that the Spirit of God, that you would just come and bring healing to that place and that part in their life. Lord, that the journey of healing would begin in believing who you say we are. Lord, that the lies of the enemy, the father of lies, that's his only language, all them things that he said, Lord, that we would now have the strength to get into your word and to hold on to truth. I want to say to someone this morning, the Bible says that the truth will set you free, but it's the knowledge of the truth, it says. Knowing the truth will set you free, and the truth you don't know can't bring freedom. So I just pray the Holy Spirit would drop the truth you need to hear and give you a quickening knowledge of that, that would bring freedom in that area of your life. Father, I do that now, and I just pray that we would continue to be a place and a community that speaks your life in everything we say. Amen.